Tuesday morning with the Musers, anxious to hear about George's weekend trip.
Yes, I have never been to Mexico before. The only two times I've ever left the country were on business trips with you guys where we actually had to spend the night. I've been to a very quick trip to Juarez one day on our way out to the Super Bowl, back when the Cowboys went to Super Bowls 26 years ago. But I went to London with y'all, and I went to Canada with you guys on a Stars trip. And that's the only time I have spent the night outside the country. Well, I was invited by a friend of mine whose business is a corporate sponsor for one of the, what's turning into one of the most prestigious college golf tournaments going each year. It's called the Cabo Collegiate, now called the CFO for Life Cabo Collegiate. That's my friend's company. He's the title sponsor, and so he invited me to come down to get to play in the, I guess it's an AM-AM because you get to play with the college players and just hang out, experience Mexico for a couple of days. I've never been. I've never, I guess, proclaimed I will never, ever travel to Mexico, but it wasn't high on my priority list. But I decided to go outside of my comfort zone and say, yeah, what the heck, I'll come down and I'll be a part of it. So I left Friday, and the tournament is in Cabo.
And did you do it because your friend, because you were just being loyal to a friend, or did you do it out of curiosity to expand your horizons?
A little bit of both. I felt like he's asked me to do several things before, and for whatever reason, I couldn't do it, scheduling. So I felt like, yeah, I should probably do this. It's a great offer, too. From a golf perspective, it's a great offer to see these young kids, some of the best college players in the country. Some of them will be on tour next year. Some of it may take a few years, but yeah, some of it was the opportunity. Some of it was, a favor to my friend. Although, as you're going to hear, I owe him now for an incredible trip.
You got a bill at the end of all this?
Not yet. I might. But yeah, the flight down is about 2 hours, 45 minutes. A P1 woman sat right behind me. She couldn't have been sweeter. Her name was Dawn. She heard the whole story last week and said, you have nothing to worry about. If you have any sort of fears, you have nothing to worry about. This is like my 25th trip to Mexico.
She scoreboarded you.
She couldn't have been nicer, though. And she did prepare me for the only thing that was a little uneasy about the actual travel to Cabo was the airport. And she said, now look, when you get there, find out where we're getting our bags. Don't act nervous around immigration.
Because they'll shoot you on sight, right?
No, if you act nervous. And once you get your bags, do you have somebody picking you up? And I said, yes, I have someone waiting for me with a vehicle, and they're supposed to have my name. By the way, first time I've ever had that done, where someone's waiting for you with your name.
Mm-hmm. With your name written on the dry erase board.
Yeah. Well,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It's the first time I've had that treatment.
I insist on that everywhere I go.
So that was pretty awesome. And I said, okay. So I got my bags. And when I was waiting for my golf bag, I had one carry-on. And when I was waiting for my golf bag, the dog did three passes by my suitcase. So already I started with the scenario of, I don't have anything in there but Advil, toothpaste, and clothing. But something in there is giving him a weird scent, and I'm going to be taken downtown, and I'm never going to be seen again.
Yeah, you don't want to be detained in Mexico.
To make matters...
You disappear that way. I always worry about that when I go travel internationally or anywhere where there's sniffing dogs, is that I always think, you know, because I've shot guns at gun ranges and those nitrates that get on your hand, I always wonder, boy, what if some of that gets on a piece of luggage or a bag, and they can smell some sort of explosive in my bag, and then I'm screwed.
The other thing is, you know, when you get a new suitcase or bag, they have those little pouches in there to
the silica gel
out or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, I wonder if he smells those, and I wonder if those give off some sort of weird scent. To make matters worse,
do you notice every time that you think to yourself, you always address yourself as man?
What do you want me to say, woman?
Yes.
All right, I'll start saying that.
Okay, let's see how long
George.
You can do that. Yeah, that would be good. Your inner voice addresses yourself as George.
So the dog is sniffing my bag for the third time, and I made matters worse by saying, it was a nice Labrador Retriever. And I said, hey, pup.
Oh, you didn't try to pet it, did you?
No, I knew better than that. But then the guy who looked pretty military to me said, don't talk to dog.
Hmm. He's from the Middle East.
Yeah, that's weird. You're in Cabo,
right? He said,
right?
Don't talk to dog. That's what he said. And I said, okay,
excuse,
sorry.
Okay.
Gosh, you haven't wearing a headdress or something over there.
You went to Cabo or Dubai?
That wasn't that bad an accent. That's how he said it. Don't talk to dog.
Don't talk to dog.
Then make him Russian.
It sounded kind of Russian.
Anyway, so went from there. The dog left me alone. And this is the part I was warned by P1 Don. Walk right to where, and they said they're going to pick me up outside. Don't mess around inside with the cab drivers, the Uber drivers. That was an amazing sight, though. There were 50 dudes lined up. Cab,
yes.
Uber,
it's
cab,
overwhelming.
Cab, and I mean, grabbing your bags. Yeah. I got you. I said, no, I'm fine. And I must have looked like rookie traveler as I'm star-eyed walking through there. They must have known that I was a newbie, so...
So are they just hustling for money,
yeah,
or are they...
For a lift.
Organ thieves.
Yeah, they want a fare, and some of them may want to do really bad things to you. I'm told never to mess with them, so I didn't. But I went through, that was an amazing gauntlet of dudes, like 50 of them, all wanting to give me a ride.
Fun to do bad things.
So what do you do for transportation?
Well, I have a vehicle.
The guy with the sign.
The guy with the sign.
Yeah.
Who is like a...
From the resort.
Hired driver from the resort.
Yeah. And I walk outside, and there he is, on a sign, Joyce Dunham.
So you got pranked?
No, it said George Dunham. And I was supposed to, there was supposed to be somebody else on my flight, and I said, he said, you ready to go? And I said, well, we have someone else on the flight here. I think we're supposed to wait for Taylor. Okay. And he grabbed my bags and started walking. I said, no, I think we need to wait here just for a minute, just to see. No one's approached me.
You wait, I take bags. Bye.
Blah.
Blah. I take one bag. I take two bags.
And every time I said, let's wait here, let's give it a minute just to see if maybe he's looking for my name. Okay. And he'd pick up my bags again, and he'd start walking. So I said, am I the only one you're supposed to pick up? Just uno? Yes.
Yes, we play uno.
We're playing uno now. I said, okay. So then I get in the van. We start driving. And I thought... Yeah. What if someone heard us do that segment last week and they put up my name and this is a fake driver and the guy who I was supposed to ride with has already taken the other shuttle.
Right.
And this is a fake shuttle that's taken
thieves.
Me to a cartel hideaway,
mm-hmm.
and I'm never going to be seen again. And
because you taunted the cartels here on these airwaves.
I did not. I have great respect for them and fear
wow.
them. And
you respect?
Respect.
I was not disrespectful to them in any way. But I did start calculating a plan, and my move was, I think I could take my driver, Roberto. He wasn't a very big dude. Seemed pretty polite.
Sounds like you were relaxing well on vacation.
Well, only because it just seemed a little off to me. Where was the other guy? Why wasn't he there? And if just one little thing's off, then
such a relaxing time.
Then maybe something's going wrong.
You're in Cabo,
okay?
Not Damascus,
okay? Well, as it turned out, he was the right guy. And about a 45-minute drive to the resort.
As you're white knuckling it on a ship that you fashioned in the back
seat. It's okay to be ready. It's okay to be vigilant. I was ready in case something went down. I was ready to take Roberto.
Relaxing.
Turned out he's a really nice guy. We went to a gated community, another very good sign. Two security guys at a gate. They let us in.
Oh, okay. To keep the poor people out, huh?
Well, just to keep the ne'er-do-wells out. I don't know how poor they are.
Huh.
I don't know why you have to make
Obviously.
It a class warfare thing, but so we got there.
Wins elections.
Dropped us off at the house, and this was not just any house. This was a 7-bedroom casa that was beautiful. Marble floors, wood-burning fireplace.
So you got the authentic Mexican experience.
Close to good schools.
Yes, I know there had to be good schools
Gourmet
nearby.
Closets.
Pool, hot tub, the whole thing.
Gosh.
The guys were there. They had traveled earlier, took an earlier flight. And
Taylor was there?
No, never saw Taylor. I don't know what ever happened to Taylor.
So you're having a good time, and that's what matters.
Yeah, I never really brought it up because
Taylor's
I think
dead in the ditch somewhere. But hey, 7 bedrooms.
I don't know what ever happened to him, but the rest of the guys welcomed me and put my clubs down. We had a couple hours to relax before we went to a dinner. That was another place where we had to take a ride, and we had this van that we all rode in. I think it was the same driver, Roberto, and he drove us to a home. These people are from Dallas. They're the Kleins, nicest people in the world, Roger and his wife, B.A., and this whole tournament was... This whole tournament was created by her. I mean, she is a mover and shaker here in Dallas. She's definitely a mover and shaker in the collegiate golf world. And I think this, they've had this place in Cabo for a while. So they had this vision of starting a collegiate tournament there. And they hosted us since I was with the corporate sponsors. The University of Arkansas team was there. Nice kids, really nice kids. One of those I was going to play with the next day, Mason Overstreet, who was the runner-up of the NCAA championships last year, originally from Oklahoma. Really, really nice kid. I gave him advance warning saying, I'm sorry what you're gonna have to put up with tomorrow, but I look forward to playing with you. Anyway, we had a really nice dinner. As it turns out,
ask then before the dinner about the eating and drinking situation, and are you okay?
No, because I didn't want to seem like the paranoid traveler, and I talked so much with so many people. I knew what I was going to do, and my plan was not to eat things like lettuce and tomatoes. Eat things that may have been peeled, like a banana or avocado, any sort of meat, fine. And that's what I went with. Bottled water, didn't drink out of the tap. And
so did BA start serving you, and all of a sudden you got sandwiches with lettuce and tomato on them, and you don't know how to get out of this because she created a tournament.
No, there was a very nice dinner that was buffet style. You went through and picked what you wanted. Beautiful dinner. And they had
unlimited
open bar.
Enchiladas.
They had an open bar, too. And I did take the risk there because I had drinks that had ice in them. But I've been told, hey, the water in Cabo is great. And I figured the tequila would kill off any sort of amoeba. So I drank and was taking that risk, but that was fine. Anyway, really
you know
nice
what?
Dinner.
You could have eaten anything on that buffet. You would have been fine.
Probably
fine. You could have eaten tomatoes and lettuce, and you would have been fine.
I was just being on the safe side, and either went bottled water.
So when it came to alcohol, alcohol, as usual, makes everyone throw all caution to the wind.
Well, because you know, the alcohol takes care of any sort of
bacteria
that may be in there. But at that dinner, met the Arkansas coach Brad McMakin, and I found being at this tournament for a couple of days that I found people like him who coach in college now that either I played against in high school or friends that I had who went on to college golf because I was not that good a player. They were. Turns out Brad McMakin went to Lamar, played with some really good friends of mine that played at Brookhaven. We knew about 20 of the same people. The golf world is still pretty small, even though it was several decades ago when I was playing golf as a junior golfer. I still knew a lot of the same people he did. Really nice guy. He's got one of the best teams in the country, Arkansas. So the next day was the AM-AM, where you get a chance to play with these collegiate players. And my friend Levi and I played with those two players I told you about, John Augustine and Mason Overstreet. Augustine, by the way, played in the Masters last year. He's going to play again this year. And it confirmed my love for Jordan Spieth. He said Jordan Spieth came over to him every day and ask how he was doing, and couldn't have been nicer.
Sounds like Augustine needs to go to Spieth and ask how he's doing.
So, right. He's doing fine. He's coming back. So you do have the prospect there of playing with basically pros, and you've been in this situation before, Junior. You always feel like such an inadequate golfer. It's hard. And I used to be a pretty good player. My game has degenerated over the years. I have not played this winter. I did go out and practice a little bit last week to try to get ready for this. And for probably the third time in the last four times I've played, I come back saying the same thing. I played awful. And I think it made it worse that you're playing with really good players who were just basically playing a practice round. They were hitting several shots. That was fascinating, too, seeing how they would map out the course. And John, I rode with John. He was showing me how he'd map out a green, put in pin placements and things. That was really cool seeing that.
So what's the conventional wisdom when you're playing with people who are much better than you? Is it the idea that you usually elevate your game, or is the idea that people usually get so self-conscious their game deteriorates?
I think the latter is how it mostly goes. that's what was really frustrating to me. I used to find when I played with better players, it used to bring out that I had some game to call back on and go to. Like if you were playing with some good musicians, Gordo, mm-hmm. you could probably play at least a couple of licks where they would look over and go, well, okay, he can play a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get that comment, hey, he can play a little bit. I felt
You're not
like
getting
I was
that anymore.
No, I felt like I was getting the pat on the back of
hey,
it's
man,
all right.
That's all right.
It's all right. There's a lot of golf shots that go in
good,
the water.
Good job there, coach.
That's okay.
That's okay, coach.
So I think I broke 90. I picked up on a couple of holes. I had a terrible day, but the course was awesome. Cabo de Sol. We played the Cove Club, which goes right by the ocean. They probably had four or five holes that were going right by the beach. Beautiful views.
So what are you thinking when you're looking out at that ocean? Are you realizing what a big world we're in, how beautiful it is, and how, wow, I'm so glad I took the chance to travel to Mexico against my fears. And, man, now I want to see more of the world with their sweeping oceans and majestic mountains and the volcanoes located in the middle of nowhere. I want to go to them all.
I was a little more worried about my iron play and why I kept pushing everything.
What was it like when you got off the plane in a foreign country and you're hearing this foreign language? There had to be sights and smells and sounds. Did that stimulate you in any way? Because that's always the best part of any foreign travel for me is the second I get off the plane and I'm looking at all the different language, you know.
Everything's just different.
Everything's
signage
different.
Signage is different. Everything just looks and feels
you
different.
You walk by the little booths in the airport, and they've got different looking candies and Cokes, and all the labels are different.
You don't recognize.
Did any of that, like, stimulate you?
Yeah, and I'd say the part that was most like that was the airport, because that was the first, you know, view of it. And, yeah, seeing those drinks and food products that, you know, look totally different companies you never heard of. And, yeah, the language, the people I did find throughout the weekend at the airport, at the golf course. We went to a party on Saturday night as well that was on a baseball field, and that was awesome. We had a great dinner, and since it was at a baseball field, they had a home run hitting contest with the coaches and the assistant coaches. But the people who worked there couldn't have been nicer. They were really, really nice.
So did you try to speak some Spanish? Like, when did you first try to use some Spanish?
You know, I really didn't have to, because everybody I came in contact with, from a driver to anyone that was at the pro shop or at the dinners we went to, spoke great English. Amazing
True.
English. And keep in mind, this was a pretty sheltered trip in that we went from airport to house to golf course to private party, back to house to private party to golf course, back to the airport. I didn't go downtown. I didn't go to Cabo Wabo. We really didn't even have time to go to the beach the next day. We only had a couple hour turnaround. We just hung out in the house in the backyard.
So you lived the one percenter dream there.
You were never not in a gated community.
Pretty much, yeah.
You had a bespoke experience the whole way.
Yeah,
you lived the Jeffrey Epstein experience.
Even the, I don't know about that, even the baseball field was in a gated community that we came through.
So I thought when you said that, it was like some neighborhood.
Yeah, with lots of kids playing ball and stuff.
It was isolated. And I guess maybe the thing that really didn't strike me as, wow, I'm really in a foreign land here. To me, it looks so much like a combination of Texas and California. Now, I would say the water maybe looked a little bit different. Really pretty blues and bluish greens. But outside of that, I felt like I easily could have been in some part of California, or maybe when we weren't by the ocean and driving through, it looked like, you know, West Texas or maybe South Texas.
That's why you should have requested your driver, hey, can you take me into a sketchy part of the main town?
No, I wanted no part of that. But so
you didn't want that kind of culture.
No, I didn't want that. So it was a very quick trip. It wasn't like a week-long stay. I will say this. I would go back. And I would go back even without the protections and the comforts that we had with, you know, drivers who are waiting on you and
Armed guards escorting you everywhere.
I never saw, and Kat told me that, hey, you may see a Jeep drive by with, like, guys with semi-automatic. I never saw any of that. But again, we didn't go into town. We just went to the resort areas and areas by the beach, the area from those resorts to the airport, which is like a 45-minute drive. So I got to see the countryside there, and it was very nice. And again, the people were really, really nice in Mexico. They couldn't have been nicer.
The few that you had contact with.
I bet I had contact
the workers
with probably 20
at the
or
resort.
30.
Right.
Do you feel like your fears were misguided?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. And that's generally the case with fear, that you start
building the unknown.
Yeah, you
because
fear
you haven't
unknown.
Been someplace.
Yeah, but I would go back. No Montezuma's Revenge either. Feel fine. Feel totally fine. It was a good trip. It was a very fast trip, but I would go back, especially with that setup. That was a really nice setup that I am certainly not accustomed to, but it was really a sweet couple of days.
All right, we're glad you weren't beheaded. That's Giorgio's trip to Mexico.
Well, that's how you sent me off. Okay, well, hopefully you won't get beheaded.
Well, we hope close to getting beheaded.
I hope for all of my family and friends on their trips that they don't get beheaded.
I guess that's just fair.
That's what I hope.
Such a nice touch. You're such a good friend.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to the coach of the Gades, Bob Stoops.